Okay. First of all, I want to thank Karen and Jake Abelevitz for sponsoring our lunch and learn the Torah and the chesed of providing us lunch. Should be as chus, aliyah l'neshama of Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah bas Avraham. Before we begin our actual topic for today, I would like to do an addendum of last week, in which we had a great conflagration over the bow and arrow. And so the bow and arrow, the rainbow, we said, is like a bow and arrow. And if you look at a rainbow, so it's the bow of a bow and arrow. Now, which way is that rainbow facing? So if you look at this picture here, I think this is drawn to scale, if I'm not mistaken. So you have a fellow here holding the bow, and then there is the string, and the arrow sits propped between or next to the bow and the string. And he pulls back on the string, pulls back the arrow against the string, and then lets go, and the arrow shoots. Okay, so the arch of that bow, right, when it is facing you, it is in an aggressive military position, right? Outwards. So when you are inside the semicircle, you're on the protected side. When you're on the outside of the semicircle, you're on the victim side, you know, on the potential victim side. So that's the simon of the rainbow. The rainbow is an inverted bow. From if God is holding the bow, right? So it can't shoot at us. It's actually faced towards him, the rainbow, right? So the rainbow itself, if you look at it as a sign of peace, it is a sign of peace, because either it's like, you know, a hunter holding his bow down like that in his hand, or even if it is in a position, it is inverted, so it can't shoot at the earth, right? It can't shoot at mankind. The only place it can possibly shoot is back at Hashem. So that's how the image of the bow is an image of peace. Okay, now with that entirely finished, we're ready for today. Okay, so let's begin with today's topic, which starts with a pasuk in our parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha. Actually, we're going to start before a parsha, a pasuk in our parsha. Start on your sheets, page 5. We're going to start with a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says the following: Ocher beito, botzei abotza, v'sone matanos yichya. Which means he who pursues ill-gotten gain, ocher beso, botzei abotza, makes trouble for his household. That's ocher beso, makes trouble for the household. V'sone matanos, and somebody who hates presents, somebody who hates gifts, yichya. Somebody who spurns gifts will live long. So the question is, what exactly does this mean? But before, what exactly does this mean? The rabbis explain that where do we see the example of sone matanos yichya? What's the classic example of the origin of sone matanos yichya? It comes from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the classic example of that. Where is Avram Avinu the classic example of sone matanos yichya? Our parsha. So, can you think offhand where Avraham Avinu spurns some gifts? Right. What's our parsha? What are some of the? We have beginning of Lech Lecha. Right. He sent on his journey. He has the thing with Lot. They split up from one another. There's a famine in the land. He comes back, he leaves, he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. he and Lot part ways. Then you have the War of the Kings, and the War of the Four Kings against the Five Kings. And the Four Kings are so powerful that the Five Kings cannot beat them. Avraham is brought in, and Avraham helps them win. And then Avraham is, then Malkitzedek, Melech Sodom comes out and wants to offer up some of the booty to Avraham, and Avraham refuses. And that's it. Okay, and that's it. So let's take a look at the pasuk, page 64. Right? Vayivarchehu vayom. Malkitzedek Melech Shalem Hotzi Lechem V'yayin. After the war is over, they're going to have a grand feast, and Malkitzedek Melech Shalem brings out bread and wine as an offering to Avraham. V'hu Chohen Le'el Elyon. And he is a priest, Le'el Elyon, whatever that means, a priest to God. What does that mean, being a Kohen Le'el Elyon at that time? But in either case, Malkitzedek is a Kohen Le'el Elyon. Vayivarcheo vayomar, and he blesses him, and he says, Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon, Kone Shemayim Va'aretz. Blessed is Avram to Hashem, and to Hashem, who's Kone Shemayim Va'aretz. And by the way, from this pasuk, some derive the halacha that when you make a lachayim, you're supposed to make a bracha and then say lachayim, rather than say lachayim and then make the bracha. Because the Medrash says, based on this pasuk, that Malkitzedek Melech Shalem blessed Avraham before blessing God. He says, Baruch Avram, and then Lekel Elyon, that Malkitzedek lost the kahuna and it passed to the family of Shem. But either way, the Medrash derives from this that this was a bad thing. So some say, al pi halacha, that when you make a lechayim, first you're supposed to make the bracha and then say lechayim. But if you say lechayim, then you're blessing the person before you bless God. And that's supposed to be a no-no. In any event, Vayomer Melech Sodom el Avraham, Melech Sodom says to Avraham, Tein li anefesh varechush kach lach. Give me, we're going to split up the booty. I'll take the people, you take the stuff. Vayomer Avraham el Melech Sodom, and Avraham says to the king of Sodom, Harimosi yadi al Hashem el Elyon konei shamayim va'aretz, imichut v'achzroch na'al v'yimekach mikol asher lach, v'lo somer ani asharti es Avraham. No way. No way am I going to accept the offers over here. Not even a shoelace. Not even a shoelace. Right. So this is the origin, the source for the idea of Sone Matonos Yichya, as it is expressed later on by Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei. So I have a couple of questions here. Question number one is, does this story of Avraham Avinu appropriately reflect the teaching of Sone Matanos Yichya? In other words, if this is true, Sone Matanos Yichya, that he who spurns gifts will live long, so is this really a good pasuk to teach that? How do we see Sone Matanos Yichya from this pasuk? Right. Maybe Sone Matanos, like other places it's that of Shlomo HaMelech, Tov, it's good to do this versus that, we see that from, at best you see from this Pasuk, at best you see from Avraham Avinu that it's a good thing to spurn gifts. He spurned a gift. But what does it mean, Yichya? He's going to live long as a consequence. So, question number one that I have is on the notion that Avraham Avinu is a source for Sone Matanos, that Avraham Avinu is a source for spurning gifts, Sone Matanos, not for spurning gifts, for spurning gifts leading to long life. Is he indeed a good source? Is that indeed a good story? Sone Matanos Yichya. So before we go on to my next question, do you have any thoughts about this? Is this a good, you know, is Avraham Avinu really a good origin for Sodom Atonis Yechia? Spurn gifts, you'll lead
well,
a long
not
life.
The full scope of what Avraham Avinu was, and Chazal talk about the fact that there's different types of people, and you have, for instance, Stone. Stone also wasn't looking for gifts. So the attitude was, for Stone was, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Whereas compared to Avraham, what's yours is yours, but what's mine is also yours. So instead of actually accepting gifts, he would give tremendously.
Okay, but sort of the proof text that the rabbis have for the idea of Sodom Atonis Yechia is this story right here of Avram spurning the gift of Melech Sodom. And I'm just questioning, how does it actually flow forth from here? Maybe from a broader thing of Avram's life, perhaps, but from here. Right, so that's question number one. Question number two is Avram really a good example of Sodom Atonis Yechia? Right? Is he truly a good example? Let's go a little further in the parsha. Let's go let's see here. Avraham goes down to Mitzrayim. Where is it? Avraham goes down to Mitzrayim. And he says, come on, where is it? Where is he? I'm sorry, earlier in the Parsha, not later in the Parsha. Earlier in the Parsha, page 56. Vayirav ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. Vayhi kasher hikriv lavola Mitzrayim. When he came to Mitzrayim, page 56. V'hayaki ruosach ha-Mitzrayim v'yamarishto zos v'hargu osiv osach hichayu. Avram was concerned about his own life and that they were going to take... They were going to kill him, and they were going to take Sarah into the harem. So Imri na achosiat, tell them I'm your brother, you're my sister. Leman yitav li bavurech, so that way good things will happen to me as a consequence. I will be yitav. How does the English explain this? Please say you're my sister, that it may go well with me. That good things will come my way. L'man yitav li bavurech. Chaysa nafshi biglalech. And I will live. So l'man yitav li bavurech is not simply that I will live, because that's the second half of the pasuk. V'chaysa nafshi biglalech. The first half of the pasuk is l'man yitav li bavurech. So what does it mean, l'man yitav li bavurech? What does that mean? If it doesn't mean that I'm going to live, so what's the goodness that's going to come to me? What could that possibly be referring to? What kind of good is he expecting?
You know, I was expecting to live. I
mean, well, that's the second half of the pasuk. It says, "L'man yitav li bavurech v'chaysa nafshi biglalech." So.
I was thinking, you came by car, no?
Yes, of course. I didn't realize we were eating outside.
It's cold outside.
Okay, so what's the lemanita? What's the lemanita libavarech mean? So it means he's gonna benefit materially, right? There's some good things that are gonna come his way. Life is the second half of the pasuk. So we have here a problem. Because that is the exact opposite of Sone Matanos. He's going to get stuff because Sarah is going to, you know, now be a, you know, in the royal palace. So Avram does not seem to be a good example of the example which he is meant to be, right? So Sone Matanos Yechia means to spurn gifts, but that seems to stand in contrast. So that's what happens with Sodom, that he spurns the gifts. But that sort of stands in contrast to his story in Mitzrayim, right, where he doesn't just not spurn the gift, he actually tries to go ahead and get the gift. So take a look. So now take a look at the sheet which I gave you. Take a look at the sheet which I gave you. Let's see here. 1 second. Yeah, and Rashi says, Rashi says back in the Chumash, "Leman yitav li bavarech yitnu li matanos." They will give me gifts. Okay? All right, so two questions we're going to address. Question number one is, is Avraham's story with Sodom, is that a good example of Sone Matanos Yechia? Seems to be spurn gifts, long life. That doesn't seem to be an example of spurn gifts, long life. It just seems to be showing that it's a good thing to do. Question number two is, Avraham himself, when it comes to Mitzrayim, seems to go, Rashi says very clearly, he was trying to get gifts. So Rashi himself, Avraham himself in Mitzrayim is not spurning gifts. He is seeking gifts.
Yeah, but it's not actually, it's unintentionally seeking gifts. The first one is intentionally, he was offered something which he declined, but the second time here, the Mitzrayim has nothing to do with him wanted that, he had no choice.
It sounds like it's a strategy. There were two parts to his strategy. One is Chaisan Afshi Biglalech, and two is Yitnu Li Matanos. I'm going to get gifts, you know, live well, right? And I will live.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I mean, it's not simply that it was in this environment, it's true that he was going to get these gifts. But it sounds like from the pasuk, as Rashi understands it, that was part of the strategy. And so, if getting a gift is you're supposed to spurn a gift, and that's considered a good thing, it seems to me that planning a strategy so that way people should want to give you gifts is also is maybe even worse. Yeah.
Well, chronologically, didn't Mitzrayim come before
Sodom? Mitzrayim did come before Sodom.
You can say that it was established afterwards.
All right, maybe so. Maybe it was established afterwards, yeah.
Wouldn't the context in which you're getting the gift be an issue? Because just getting gifts is not necessarily there.
Okay, good. The context in which you're getting the gift might have an impact. Can you think of contexts, why in one context it would be, something that you should spurn, and in another context, it's no problem at all.
Well, Sodom is based on getting something after war as a result of fighting.
Okay.
The other one has nothing to do with fighting.
All right. So maybe getting gifts in the context of war booty, maybe. You should spurn that. Maybe it's not usur, it's not prohibited, but maybe in the context of war, it's not righteous. You should spurn that. But over here, in the context of Mitzrayim, he's setting himself up. What's wrong with setting yourself up for a good situation? But in the context of war, that seems to be... So that might be one differentiation. Okay? Can anybody think of... Another differentiation. Yeah, Judy.
Gifts that are trying to get you to do something, that has strings attached.
Okay, so strings attached versus a, you know, matana. So which one of these has strings attached?
That's right.
Well, let's think about this for a second. In the case of Mitzrayim, right, she's now going to be royalty. Why is he getting gifts because she's royal?
His family.
Well, usually people give, I don't say usually, but you can imagine a situation where people are giving gifts to members of the royal family in order to get some type of benefit from the decision makers, right? If he's the brother of, you know, of the queen, right? Then he might be able to have influence on somebody's behalf. So in Mitzrayim, accepting a gift could be could be problematic. And yet, right? And over here in Sodom, it's not problematic. So it seems to me that the one with no strings attached is Stone. Stone is like, you know, thank you very much. You did a great job. Here, have some booty. But in the case of Mitzrayim, okay, maybe you can argue the opposite. I don't know. Well, you, Steve, you I think we're going the other way. Mm-hmm. So what were you going to say?
Based on the first one, Sodom, it's getting something out of it is basically you have to. It's based on an action that you perform,
right?
Which means you perform something before that. On the other one, in Mitzrayim, you're getting something for doing nothing actually, because just by your association to another person.
Right. So I would suggest that that is correct. I still have a problem with it based on what I just said, but I think you're correct. Over here in Sodom, it's it was a gift, but it's like based on some action. This wasn't payment, but when you give a gift, sort of dependent on something, that kind of gift is maybe not really a gift. You know, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's keeping you on payroll as, it, you know, it's not...
Human ally.
That's not a real kind of gift. You want to pay me for my service? You know, pay me for my service. But masking that as a gift sort of obfuscates the real nature of the relationship and thus obfuscates what my, you know, what my obligations may not be to you. In the case of Mitzrayim, you could say that, you know, it was a no strings attached. In other words, they gave it to him because, you know, they gave it to him. There was no, you know, they... But again, my problem is that, you know, this might, you know, it could be construed as a bribe. You know, people giving stuff to members or people that are close to the royal family. Which gets us to our third one, which is, you know, Judy, what you were saying, even if it's not exactly here, which is that if it's something which is based, you're trying to corrupt somebody, right? And I don't know if Sodom and Mitzrayim are good examples of this, but a matana, a gift, which is meant to corrupt a judge, a gift which is meant to corrupt somebody who's supposed to, you know, adjudicate, even if it's not an actual judge in a court, but somebody you're trying to sway their...
But gifts also have their own weight. A $200 gift is different than $5,000 gift.
Oh, okay. So let's get it. So what kind of gift is basically a bribe? A gift in the context, in an inappropriate context, is called a bribe. And then a true gift. So again, whether Sodom and Mitzrayim, you can line them up this way, I'm not sure. But certainly, you know, a bribe versus a true gift, one is soni matanos, you should spurn that kind of a bribe, but a true gift you should be happy to accept. Who's just saying something? The size of the gift? Who said
the
that?
Size, yeah. How much it, not the size. But
yeah, I know. How
much it costs.
Right. There's
a difference between a $200 bribe and a $5,000 bribe.
Right.
One is more effective than the other, but they're both
So let's take
one of them a bride, but where you don't expect anything for the 200, it's right. A gift.
If I'm, let's say, the prime minister, let's say I'm a prime minister of a Middle Eastern country, and somebody gives me a cigar, so that's not such a big deal. But let somebody, I'm a prime minister of a certain Middle Eastern country, and a guy gives me $1,000 cigars on a regular basis, so that's a little different, right? Somebody says l'chaim and gives you a, and you make a l'chaim with them, that's one thing. Somebody is giving you $10,000 bottles of champagne, that's a little different. So the size of the gift can also, you know, be a difference. Even if it's not a bribe, you know, maybe even if it's not a bribe, even if it's a true gift, maybe what Avraham Avinu was saying is that different kind of gifts. You know, a person should not be in a position where they're taking large gifts from other people. You know,
looks like more of a bribe than a gift.
No, but even if it's not a bribe, let's say it's just two friends, and I want to give you a $10,000 bottle of champagne. I want to give you a $1,000 Mohiba. What are they called? The Cuban cigars. I want to give you $1,000. So maybe the size of the gift makes it there. Maybe sonas matanas yichya only exists in the context of large gifts. But there is somehow a value, but if it's a small gift, so a small gift is a way of showing,
appreciation.
A large gift already is...
You expect something back.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that's called a chesed shel emes, the only thing that's called a true chesed is when you bury somebody, God forbid, who needs to be buried, right? And the reason that it's called a chesed shel emes is because there is no expectation that you're getting anything back from them, right? Okay? Right? Except for a rabbi who hopes to get paid from the family, right? So So soni matanas yichya, because there's always some expectation. So that maybe the Torah is saying, the Mishnah is saying, small gifts, you know, that builds relationships. Large gifts already, that actually corrupts the relationship. Because somebody expects something back. You know, I'm sure if you've ever received a sentimental gift from a child, a friend, a parent, you know, somebody, they gave you a 10-cent napkin from a simcha, you know, which just reminds you of the simcha and it has your name printed on it, you know, that you've had, you know, for 10 years. There's something sentimental about that. How much is the napkin worth? Maybe a nickel, maybe a dime, maybe 50 cents. But for you, it's... And then somebody could give you a gift they can give you a gift worth thousands and thousands of dollars. So which one's like, you know, sort of builds the relationship, and which one do you now sort of feel indebted to the other person? I think, you know, somebody gives you, you know, a sentimental gift which isn't worth a lot financially, but means a lot to you, right? When my kid, you know, gives me a birthday card, that my wife didn't buy in the store, but they wrote on a paper plate, you know, in backward letters because they didn't have their letters straight when they were 4 years old. That has more value than maybe a $5 card from Hallmark, which you saw in your name on the bottom. Just saying. So the context is very important. Any other distinctions? Yeah.
The whole scenario with the shrine just really doesn't seem to fit the Abraham's motifs, what he is, what everything about him. And if we're going in that direction, mm-hmm. and he was saying it is something that he's doing that's positive because she's going to become the wife of Pharaoh,
right.
Then the gift is Sarah herself. Sarah herself is a gift. And what would be the ultimate return? Well, just like with Mordechai, with Esther, when she became, in a sense, the gift to Ahasuerus,
right?
And the end result was Purim, And here, maybe the end result will be somewhere down the road in 300 years from now.
So the fact that he gave her up was a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't understand it at all.
I'm saying, in your metaphor here, you're comparing it to Purim.
The gift is Sora herself.
And what's the consequence of that gift?
Something that he will get, maybe not today, but maybe sometime in the future.
So he's giving a gift.
He's giving a gift.
And the gift is...
He's giving the gift. He's the one doing it.
So what's Sodem? So how do you understand? So is that an example of Sodem Atanos Yichya, that it's a thing to spurn? Or that's a positive thing that is okay to do? I don't see where you're going with it.
Like I say, the whole, I'm just trying to compare that. When you're comparing the gifts between the two,
right?
He's doing this as a positive thing, so it's a good thing.
Right.
He's doing.
Okay.
And his reward, it may not be right now a physical reward, but something that will be a reward in the future.
Okay. So I have a little difficulty, suggesting.
With the whole concept.
I have some difficulty suggesting that Avram giving his wife as a gift to somebody. Somehow a positive thing. So, but to your underlying question, I think that there is something quite problematic here, and we're going to get back to that. Let's take a look at the Sifsei Chachamim. Sifsei Chachamim says the following. Okay. Sifsei Chachamim says the following. Asks the question about Sodom and Mitzrayim. Koshali. You have it in Hebrew on page 1 and in the English page 2. Koshali. Ein shayach kan hatava rak shelo yahargu v'zeho hatzala v'lo hatava l'kach pirish yitnu li matanos. When he says v'yitabli, it means gifts. V'yim tomar. And if that's the case, mashma sh'avraham rotza b'matanos. It seems that Avram is desirous of gifts. V'hala come on. But further on, we say gabi melech zdom asher michut v'ad shochna lo akach. And yet, how do we understand Avraham wanting a gift here if further on in the parsha we learn that he spurned the gifts which were really due to him when, with the booty of the was garnered by Sodom? So answer number one. Matana mu'etes ratza. Aldas kol harotz alehanos yehane ke'elisha dehainu achila ushtia ufundak. So the context of the size of the gift makes a difference, right? Something like a regular gift that people do for each other. No reason to spurn that kind of gift. Like the story of Elisha, right? The woman who, when he would come through town, she would give him room and board. That's an appropriate thing to appropriate thing to do, but. And therefore, the Ksiv HaRachush Kach Lach. But when it comes to Sodom, he's saying all this booty, all this lavishness, all this everything, you take that. Well, Sodom says to Avram, you take it, and Avram responds, no, I'm not going to take any of that. Below Somar Ani Hashartius Avram, don't say that you made Avram rich. So if you were talking about a gift that's going to really, a really lavish gift. That's the kind of gift that we say, Sonim Atanos Yechia.
He specifically says, I won't even take a shoelace.
So I'm not even going to take
it's not about the size.
Well, in other words, he's not even going to take a small amount of this gift. Because he's saying, Shalot Tomer Aniha Esharti Esavram. I think it might be a little bit of an expression here. If his concern is that you're going to say that you made Avram rich, right? Nobody's getting rich off of a shoelace. But he's saying, I'm not going to take anything I'm not going to take a cent from you, right? In other words, he's offering $1 million. He's saying, I'm not going to take anything. Just leave it, right? So, v'od yeshlomer. So that's answer number one. But there's another layer here. He says, I don't want to take it because I don't want you to say that you made Avram rich. What, he's concerned that the guy is going to go around saying, I made Avram rich. What does he care what the guy says? What does he care what somebody else says about him? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but who cares? Right, so what does he care? He's going to go around touting the fact that he made Avram rich. What does he care? What does Avram care what Melch Stone says? Yeah.
Why I was going to say this before, but I'm not sure if this relates to it, but to what he's saying. When you give a gift after doing something, it suggests that you did it for the gift or for the and by not taking it, it's clean. I did
a quid pro quo, if you will.
Yes, yeah. So it's not so much I won't make Avram rich, but it's like I didn't do. Let's make it clear. This wasn't for you.
Okay, you know it should be clear that it is. I don't want there to be any sense of there's some bribe over here. There's some expectation that it was done based on an action, like we said. Okay, but I think there's something more going on here. It says, I don't want you to say, the lo tomar. I don't want you to say this. Okay, I'm going to come, we'll come back to that. So putting all this over here, just on the side, how do we understand, why is Abraham concerned what Sodom will say?
Does he care? Isn't it his good name?
Why Avraham earned it? Avraham was due. It was due to him.
Take from an immoral person.
What's an immoral person? He was the one who won, helped them to win the war. He's entitled. And who said Melech Sodom was immoral? There's no indication of that. Okay, so that's what Judy was saying, that shouldn't give the impression that he did it, for hire. But that's not what he says. He says, "Below Tomar ani ha'esharti Avram." I don't let you go to around saying, you know why he's a rich man today?
Because
I made him rich. You know? All right. Ayin v'od yesh lomar. Second answer. The Hanashim Chomdos Mamon, that women desire money. L'kach Amar La Imrina Chosiat Kidei Lafaisa Avaloha Yabadaita Likach Vimenu. In other words, this was a strategy for Sarah to agree to this deal, because she would see that there was some profitability here, and she would be sort of swayed by it. Find that also a rather problematic answer, but it says kidei lafaisa, that it was just meant to make her feel better about the situation. But he had no intentions of taking anything from it. There's like sort of maybe a moral problem from that answer. It doesn't exactly fit with modern sensibilities. But leave that aside. There is a factual problem with that answer. He says, Chachamim say that he did it as a strategy, but he never intended to take any money from it.
It doesn't say that.
Actually, it does.
Where?
It does say something about it. What does the pasuk say? Vayhi kivo Avraham Mitzrayma, and he said to his wife, "You tell him, and I will, and I will get rich." Ulavram hetiv bavura. And guess what? Avram got rich. So even if this were his strategy, it doesn't accord with what actually happened, because he actually did take the stuff and he did become rich. And so the Sifsei Chachamim's second answer, that in Mitzrayim, really, Sonei Matana, you should spurn gifts. And don't think that Avraham ever had any intention of taking gifts from Mitzrayim. He just did that as a strategy to get Sarah to sign on to the program. But it wasn't just a strategy, because the next pasuk we learn that they gave him gifts and he took the gifts. Right. So answer number two is somewhat problematic. Answer number three. Let's go a little further. It actually says over here, V'yesh makshim. Hechai Avraham rotzel achshilam. One second. Next answer. Everybody see it? It's the very next thing. Third answer. Achshav lo haya lo osher, lekach haya no tel matanos. However, vayelech masav lefrakim osav al gabi melech sdom, haya lo osher mishum hachi afilu mash haya min adin litol. Lo natal mishum sonim atonos yechiyat. Context makes a difference. In the case of Sodom, he was already a man of means. However, in Mitzrayim, he was indigent.
He was coming from a famine. He was going down to Egypt. He needed stuff. There's no reason not to take a gift. But over here is a man of means. So a person is a man of means and accepts gifts. That's Sone Matanos Yechia. Sone Matanos Yechia, in this answer of the Sifsei Chachamim, is the difference between Sodom and Mitzrayim. Sodom was already a man of means. He didn't need it. And to take it at that point, Sone Matanos. Why? We'll get to that in a minute. But like, why? What's the problem? If you can take it while you're poor, what's the problem with taking it while you're rich? What's the big deal? Sone matanos yechia. Maybe you should take it and give it to the poor. But
when you're rich, you have a choice, a bigger choice. When you are poor, there's no choice here.
Okay, so Sifsei Chachamim is saying that really sone matanos yechia is a bad thing. But over here, he was poor, so he had no choice. It's not usur, it's not prohibited, but it's just not a. But what's the value? We haven't gotten to the underlying point over here. What's the problem of taking gifts from people? Right. In other words, we sort of took. We have given it as a stated it as a given. It's bad to take. One should spurn gifts, right? Maybe based on war, based on action, because it's a bribe. Maybe it's a large gift.
But both people who give the gift in Sodom and Mitzrayim are well off.
The givers.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about the recipient.
Well,
the recipient in Sodom is well off.
But a person who gives, they can afford. Both in those cases could afford to give.
So then it should be a problem in neither situation. It shouldn't be a problem in either. Right? So except for these issues here that we mentioned before about maybe there's just something not nice, maybe it's a bribe, you're expecting something a lot. But alright, so that's the third answer. Yeah.
Maybe that's where we get the concept of Ezebu Ashir Asamat Bechoko. There's a point where you have enough, but most people, when they have enough, they want that much more. And that
very nice. So what Morty is suggesting is that when do we say Sodom, Sone Matanos Yechia? That's when you're a person of means. You don't really need. But over here, he needed to live. So the idea that Morty is suggesting is that Ezel Asher Samech Lechalko, somebody who is wealthy, is somebody who is satisfied. There is some measure, there is some quantity that afterwards it's just hoarding. And perhaps Sone Matanos Yechia is a corollary to the principle of finding happiness with what we have and not finding dissatisfaction with what we don't. And so if a person is a person of means, he can live, he's okay, he's fine. So don't accept gifts. You should spurn gifts because it builds our midah, it builds our character of being happy with what we have. There's an interesting phenomenon. I'm not speaking about anybody here, but I've noticed it, that when people go to weddings of wealthy people, they try to give bigger gifts when they go to weddings of people of lesser means. And it's a funny type of thing, because you would think you go to a wedding, somebody of lesser means, you would want to give a bigger gift because they need it more. But there's a sort of social phenomenon which I think exists, that when people go to a wedding of a person of great means, they want to give a bigger gift. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're embarrassed to give a small gift. You know,
they don't want to look like they're beggars.
They don't want to look like they're beggars. It's a way of evening out, right? Of evening out the gifts over here. I've been given the gift of coming to this lavish wedding, and now I give a big gift. It's like, you don't own me, right? I'm independent. But it's an interesting psychology. I don't know that everybody does this, but I think it's a phenomenon out there. So Sone Matanos Yechia, a person of means. You know, if you're a person of means, you should not accept a gift or not want to. It's a higher It's a higher spiritual state to say no. And the reason for that is to build our character of being happy with, you know, with indeed what we have. All right, so those are three answers of the Sifsei Chachamim. One second. Put on the page. Okay, so I would like to suggest an answer a little bit inspired by Morty's difficulty with Avram in Mitzrayim. And this is based on a somewhat simple read of the Psukim. Go back to your Chumash, and let's take a look at the Psukim over here. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading now, and I'm going to note things along the way. Start at the beginning of Lech Lecha, page 54. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Hashem says, Avram lech lecha mi'artzcha mi'latcha mi'beis avicha l'artz asher areka. Pasuk Dalid, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem, Vayelech ito Lot. And Lot went along with him. Now there's a machlokas, what is the meaning of the word ito versus imo? Some say that ito means that they are in the same, you know, they're Siamese twins, you know, they're the same, they're going along the same path. And emo means, you know, two of us happen to be together, but we're not, you know.
We share the same role.
Right. So, and then there are others who look at the ito and emo the opposite. So I want to say that ito over here means that that you have here, well, we'll see. Vayelech ito Lot, that Lot was going with him. Right. So Avram had he was on the spiritual journey, and he was bringing Lot along with him on that journey. But Lot had his way of looking at life, and Avram has his way of looking at life. And how do we know that they have different ways of looking at life? Avram has a spiritual horizon in front of him, and Lot is a materialistic man, by what Lot ultimately chooses when they split up from one another. Okay, so they're on they're sort of walking the same road, but they're different paths, right? Vayikach Avram is Sarai Ishto, and Avram takes Sarai and Lot, his nephew, and all their rechush, and all the people that they had influenced, according to Chazal. Vayetzu aleches arza Kanaan, vayavo arza Kanaan, and they come to Kanaan. Vayavo Avram ba'aretz, an mekom Shechem ad Elon Moreh. Vayir Hashem al Avram, vayomer lezaracha, and he promises to Avram, and Avram builds a mizbeach, and Avram has made this great spiritual journey. Vayirav ba'aretz. However, there was a rav in the land. Vayirid Avram mitzrayim al agrusham ki chavir arav ba'aretz. And Avram was, in fact, quite leaves the land because of the heaviness, the strength of the famine. And I photocopy for you the Ramban over here. You can see it in Hebrew and the English. I'll just skip to, you know, since we're running out of time over here, just skip to the key line here in the Ramban, where he says, what is he saying here? The Ramban holds Avraham accountable for leaving Mitzrayim. He calls it a chet. He calls it a sin. Here, bottom of page 3. Ki zesh natayim arav bekerav aretz v'da ki Avraham avinu chata chet gadol bishkaga. He sinned by leaving Mitzrayim, by leaving Eretz Kanaan during the famine and going down to Mitzrayim. Avraham sinned. What was Avraham's sin? Of leaving Mitzrayim. The sin was, Hashem told him,
go to Eretz
Yisrael. Hashem says, go to Eretz Yisrael. He said, go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem didn't say leave. The fact that Avraham felt forced to leave Mitzrayim for better, Canaan, for better pastures, indicates on some level a certain lack of bitachon, a weakening of his faith and trust in Hashem. Shehevi ishto hatzadekes b'michshol avon. Mipnei pachado, pen yahargu. Right? And now we have him giving his wife up to Paro because he's afraid. He's going to get killed. V'hayala luftach b'shem, b'shem. He should have had emuna in Hashem. Shiyatzil osoves ishtoves kol asher lo. I said it in reverse here. The second sin was putting his wife in danger. The first sin was having left Mitzrayim. So why did he take both of these actions? There's seemingly some weakening of bitachon here, of emuna, of trust, of faith in Hashem. He should have had faith that it would be okay. Ki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol. Haya lo livtoach. He should have had bitachon.
And he's the one.
So let's go further. So pasuk 10. He goes down to Mitzrayim. Vayikach asher ki'u lavo Mitzrayima. And then he has the situation with Sarai, which we just discussed. Ula Avram heitiv bavura. And he says, I'm going to get rich on your behalf. So that takes us down even another level here. He leaves Mitzrayim, avon number one. He leaves Kenaan, avon number one. He puts Sarah up on the block, avon number two. Chet chata. A certain lack of emuna bitachon. And then we have here, he says, I'm going to get rich. That's yet another rung down the ladder. Top of page 58. Vayinag Hashem is Paro negam gedolim, and Paro is smitten by this, right? Because of what he, because of Sarai. Vayikra Paro l'Avram, and he says to Avram, Lama lo higadet talik ishtecha hi. Paro, not Hashem. Paro says to him, why weren't you honest with me? Lama marta chosihi, v'atahine ishtecha kach valech. Right? So as I pointed out in the past, Lubavitcher Rebbe says that every situation that we're in life is either a mirror for us to learn something from, or it's a situation for which we're meant to take action on. So how do you know when something is just a mirror or something is just a part of the action of life? So he has it, but sometimes things are mirrors. So Paro, speaking these words to Avram, is like a tochacha. This is Paro, who supposedly doesn't have Yiras Hashem, Yiras Elokim, is giving Avram Avinu tochacha for not being honest. Vayishalchu osov es ishto, and Paro sends him away, give him his wife, v'Avram kaved b'mikneh, and he leaves wealthy. And then he goes on his journey. And what happens? A fight erupts between Lot and his shepherds and Avram and his shepherds. Or really, between the two shepherds. What does it mean that a fight erupts between the two shepherds? Between the Gashmias here and the Gashmias there, the material wealth here and the material wealth there, the... this guy thinks he owns he's the Yarshan of the $1 billion real estate fortune, and this guy thinks he's the Yarshan of the $1 billion real estate fortune. And then they go to court, and they spend 25 years in court not talking to each other, spending hundreds of millions of dollars figuring out who's got the Yerusha on the real estate. So here, their finances got them into a fight. His Roem and his roem, his sheep, and his sheep. V'lona sasam l'sheves yachdav. So now here's the key pasuk. Pasuk 4, chapter 13, 4. V'gam l'lot ha'oleches Avram. Lot, who had been going with Avraham, had a lot of stuff. V'lona sa osam ha'aretz. And the land couldn't take care of them both. By Hiriv, by Omer Avram, Avram says, let's not fight. The fight between them sort of was a wake-up call. Right? Let there not be a fight. says, you go right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. Lot says, I'll take the fertile region. You can have the desert. Vayivchar lo Lot is kol kikar hayarden. Vayarpardu ish me'al achiv. And they separate from one another. Oh, sorry, I skipped a pause. Go back to 13:1. When Avraham emerges from Mitzrayim, 13:1, when Avraham emerges from Mitzrayim, he's a wealthy man. Vayal Avraham in Mitzrayim, hu v'ishto v'chol asher lo, v'lot imo. When this journey began, it was v'lot ito. Avram took Lot with him. It was Avram's journey. And he took Lot with him. But, you know, Lot has his journey, he has his journey. By the time Avram emerges from Mitzrayim, it's Lot Imo. They're on the same journey of material wealth at the expense of spiritual refinement. The Lot Imo. And now the whole fight breaks out. But Baruch Hashem, Avram Avinu has some wisdom here. And he realizes, you know, you can't fight over this. This is going to destroy everything. And so he says, better we should split up. You go on your journey, and I have to go on my journey. And the people of Sodom were pretty lousy. Pasuk 14, Vashem Amar El Avram. And now Hashem says to Avram, when does Hashem speak to Avram? What are the next five words? Pasuk 14. In what is the context in which Hashem now speaks to Avram? Acharei hipared Lot me'imo. When they have decoupled from one another. They have delinked from one another. Lot has gone the way of Sodom, right? And Avram has gone the way of Avraham. So now, Avram builds a mizbeach. Vayel Avram, what does it say here? It's called Vesamti Azaracha. Oh, no, I'm sorry. So now, Hashem gives him the blessing. It is now that Hashem gives him the blessing. Not before. Now Hashem gives him the blessing. Ure'ei manakom tzafona negba kedma vayama kol ha'aretz et nanalach. V'samti yezarecha, you're going to have all these children in a great nation, and you're vayehal Avram vayavo vayeshev b'leino vayiven sham mizbeach l'Hashem. After, this is Avram's journey. This is the spiritual journey. Right? He goes to, it was a big deal that he goes from Haran to Har HaMoriah. That's a big deal. But this is also a big deal. Because he has a Yerida and then an Aliyah. He goes down to Mitzrayim. He becomes a little bit too much like a Lot. A little too much, I don't want to say like Sodom, but he's walking down a path. And when they come to a fight, then he realizes where I am. What have I become? And he steps back and he says, we have to separate from one another. And only when he has that hakara, only after that part of his spiritual journey, does Hashem now speak to him and give him the bracha of children, of the nation, of the land. And now Avram builds a mizbeach to Hashem. And what's the very next story? The story of the four kings and the five kings. And at the end of that story, Sodom, Melech Sodom says to him, here, take all this stuff. Take all these matanos. I'm giving you all this booty. You even deserve it. And Avraham says, no. Sone matanos yichya.
What does that mean?
He who spurns gifts will live a long life. And Avraham becomes the symbol of sone matanos yichya, to spurning gifts. But we understand how Avraham now is a symbol of spurning gifts. But what is the message of spurning gifts? What is it about spurning gifts and yichya, a long life? Mishle should say, Sone matanos, I don't know, yishbach, it will be praised. What's Sone matanos yichya? So take a look at the last page here on your thing. With this we'll conclude. Page 5. This is where we end where we began. So Rashi says, Soni Matonos Yichya. I'm missing that Rashi, apparently. But apparently, that if you spurn gifts, then you will most certainly not come to steal. It's a geder. It's a way of making sure that you're so honest and have such integrity, you don't even take gifts, you're certainly not going to come to Gzela. Ibn Ezra says, Misavish Shiyakor Beso Matnos Hashochad. Bribery. Right? So the first thing idea is that Soni Matonos Yechya, what is the value of spurning gifts? So that way you don't come to steal. You steal, you get thrown in jail. That's not a good thing. So Soni Matonos Yechya, you want to live? Spurn gifts. You'll stay on the straight and narrow. Ibn Ezra says, Soni Matonos Yechya means bribes. Doesn't help us with Yechya, why that means long life. Malbim. The Malbim says on the bottom of the page, Mi shesone af matanos velo yehena mishel acherim rak mashem arviach al yidei kapo bal tomar shiyamus v'ra'av o yechla merov avoda behefech al yidei ze yichya ki hakol talui bashkachas Hashem, which means somebody who spurns gifts and doesn't enjoy from other people just what he earns by the sweat of his brow, that is what he enjoys in life. Bal tomar sheyamus b'ra'av, shall not say that a person like this will die in starvation, o yechla merov avoda, and should not think that he will become sick from working so hard. No, behefech al yidei ze yichya, a person who works and does what and is reliant on themselves, yichya, a person like this will live. Ki hakol talui bashkachas Hashem. Everything ultimately comes from Hashem. So in other words, the idea of Soni Matonos Yichya is that if a person spurns gifts, he understands that everything comes from Hashem. All of life comes from Hashem. Right? There are people that spend their whole lives running after deals and parnasa and this and that, and they forget to live. Soni Matanos means somebody who doesn't rely on other people, who doesn't make themselves reliant on other people, but simply makes themselves reliant on Hashem. Somebody like that, Yichya, person will have long life. I don't know if that's exactly what the Malbim was saying, but that's how I'm taking it. And that's what Avraham is. Avraham is an example of Soni Matanos Yichya, right? That's why Mishlei said, the rabbis say that he is the source, that he is a good example of Soni Matanos Yichya, one who spurns gifts. Yichya will have a long life. It means that he will have emuna b'Hashem. He's not tola on other people. He will have the life, and he will have life in both meanings, that he will be able to live, and that God will give him the blessing of life, because God is the one who is mashgiach on everything. My job, my anything, my parnasa, nothing is dependent on anybody else. It's only dependent on Hashem. And that's it. And that's Soni Matanos Yichya. So how did Avraham Avinu, how did he seek gifts in Mitzrayim? Answer, which came first and which came second? Mitzrayim was a problem. Avraham was not a banner, banner child for Soni Matanos Yichya. But he goes through this journey, by Yelech Lot Imo, and then he splits up from Lot. And by the time he gets to the end of that story with the war with the four kings and the five kings, he is a poster child for Soni Matanos Yichya. And that's why Mishlei says Soni Matanos Yichya, and that's why Avraham is.
You basically tell me he evolved.
He evolved. Yes, that is my contention. My contention is that the sequence of these parshios are here in such a way as to make the point that Avraham Avinu indeed involved. So Bezras Hashem, we should learn from the model of Avraham Avinu, Soni Matanos Yichya, whatever the context appropriate for taking gifts or not taking gifts, but ultimately the Musar value of this is to make our ensure that we are not dependent on others and only in our minds and in our actions dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Don't you also see a parallel in here between the Yerida of Abraham to Mitzrayim?